Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. I believe this is episode 19. Which is, again, amazing to me that I've done 19 of these. And like I told you guys before, that I'd probably comment on how many episodes I've done, how much it amazes me that I'm doing this. So, yay, episode 19. All right. So, this week's guest is Tammy Jo. This is the last time she's with us for at least this series. She'll probably come back again in the future and do interviews with me. But we kind of go into her goals for the year. And then she talks a little bit about relating to the Lord. And then a fear of evangelizing, which I think a lot of Christians have. I'm just speaking of myself. It's something that I am afraid of doing because you kind of are afraid of doing it wrong. And so we kind of get into that. And then we also wrap up with talking about the intimacy of God. It's been so great having Tammy Jo here for these 3 weeks. And I hope you guys have been encouraged and enjoyed her interview as much as I did. So we're probably still in lockdown at the time of this podcast. So if we are, and you're looking for things to do, may I refer you to Audible again? If you like to just have something in your ear, music, podcasts, movies, anything, books, Audible is great because it's something you can just plug in while you're cleaning or out taking a walk. Or just sitting on your couch if you don't want to just sit and read a book and you just want to listen to it. If you're an Audible learner, Audible is great for that. I've been using it to listen to quite a few books and it is helpful so I can be on the move and also read my favorite books. So if you'd like to give Audible a try, I'm going to put in the show notes a link to give you so you can try Audible for 30 days and let me know how you like it. All right, so without further ado, here is my interview with my friend Tammy Jo.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I want to see everybody saved. I want to see, like, everybody come to know, like, the truth.
Yeah.
Of.
Could you imagine if everybody got saved? How awesome it
would be. Like, that would be really cool.
It would be amazing. It would just, because I think of all the people that I know in my life. Like, I have coworkers who are unsaved. I have family members who are unsaved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like my Uncle Johnny, mm-hmm. who listens to this, is probably like, what? You're talking about me?
Yeah.
Like, I see, like. I love him, and I'm like, he is amazing, and just to, like, because, like, we have such a cool gift, I believe, and I'm like, I want everyone to have this cool relationship with God, like, it's just, and he, like, tailors it, and just, which is mind-boggling to me, because there's so many of us, and there's one of him, and yet, it's just him and I.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy that, like, yeah, he talks to you, too, and then this person, mm-hmm. and this person, but it doesn't feel that way, it doesn't feel like he's this, like, overly stressed, like, overburdened Lord. He's mm-hmm. he's like my personal God. And so mm-hmm. I want people to have that same relationship with God, knowing that, like, yeah, there's billions of us, but, like, it's him and I when it's him and I talking.
Yeah.
I want people to know that and know, like, that there's so much love there. And, like, he's, like, my best friend. I can tell him anything. Like, he knows things about me that no one knows. And, boy, I just totally waxed
my uh-huh. pop filter. Yeah, you didn't let me do it.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, I'm a hand talker, so I'm, like, all over the place. But, like, yeah, I just want people, I want my uncles and my aunts and my, like, nephews and them to know that. And my friends who don't know to know that, like, God loves us all so much. Mm-hmm. Like, he just wants to know you. And I want them to know the awesome relationship that I have. And for them to have their own is with him as well.
Yeah. Well, you do have such a beautiful communication with the Lord. It's very beautiful, and it's good that you share that, you know, with people. Yeah. I think it's good that you talk about that freely, because I think by that example, because when you talk about it, it's real, it's legit. It's not like some weird religious person talking about, you know, their idol. It's not like that. When you talk about it, it's obvious that it's a real fellowship that you have with him, and that I feel like is... That's the gospel. So you're speaking the gospel when you're sharing that, you know?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And you have that very inclusive personality as well. So, because I think sometimes, you know, it can be like, okay, well, he'll talk to her, but he's not going to talk to me.
And I've had those thoughts too.
Yeah, but you're so inclusive, it just in your nature, that I think that, you know, people see that. And I think that just your life is a good gospel speaker, you know.
Thank you. I think I forget that, and I forget maybe a lot of us do. It's like, you don't always have to. And I think when I think of evangelizing and talking about the Lord to people, it's like, because you're so afraid of screwing it up, because you're like, what if I say the wrong thing and this person, it totally just like bombs for them, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, just people watch you, and I'm learning that people watch you, like, right. You don't even have to say anything. Yeah. People watch you and they know, like and like, it kind of released a lot of fear for me, because God's like, you just sometimes you don't have to say anything, you just need to just be who you are, and that speaks enough. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And when people ask, it's not up to you. And that's another thing that I think I was talking to my friend Erica about this a couple nights ago. Like, it's not up to us to save that person. God will do it. We just have to, like, plant a seed. We just have to be willing to, like, live our lives, or just even start that conversation. Like, it's not up to us. God will do the rest.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that was a big burden lifted, because, like, it was a burden I wasn't supposed to even carry, because I'm like, it's my job to, like, save this person, verses in Romans to make them become a Christian. It's my job. That's kind of how I viewed it. And God's like, no, just be who you are. Plant that seed.
Yeah.
Be open, be loving, and I will do the rest.
Yeah. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. Yeah. I know. That's something I always shied away even from the word, like evangelist, because I think of, you know, like handing out Bible tracts and pressing people for a decision. Which I'm not faulting anyone that does that in any way, shape, or form.
Because that works for some people. I mean, I've seen it work. I've been on mission trips, like when we went to Mexico and we did that, and it worked. I saw people like get saved right then and there, like that, with that method.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But like, for me, that's not honest to who I am.
Yeah, same as me.
And so it has to be a different way, you know, and that's okay. And so understanding that evangelism doesn't have to look that way. It's to preach the good news. And what is it somebody said, you know, about preaching the good words, if necessary, use words.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's kind of how it is. You know? I feel like, though, sometimes, you know, and this is, I guess, my grandest dream, okay, for this year, is just a deeper intimacy with him. And I know that sounds slow, like really cliche. I don't mean it in a cliche way, but, I feel like, you know, when you've been so intimate with a person, you can just feel that they've been with that person. That they know that person.
Yeah.
And that is evangelism, I feel like. And then, it just kind of, it flows out of you naturally. I met somebody like that. And, you know, just whenever they talked, it was so weird. They didn't say anything amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, they said this theological, you know, had this theological argument that just blew a hole in everything, and now everything's clear. It wasn't like that at all. They were just talking, and you could feel their intimacy with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they talked about the Lord, it wasn't like they were talking about somebody they read about. It wasn't like they were talking about somebody that they served.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. It was like they were talking about, like, somebody that they were married to. Like, it was like that. It was, like, so intimate. Like, just so intimate. And it was cool to me, because that's, like, always been my greatest desire, is that intimacy.
Yeah.
And just that he would be more real to me than any physical person on earth, you know. That's something he put in me too, you know, to desire that. But seeing that in that person was just like, okay, it was a good reminder that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, because it seems a little surreal to think of that, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's spirit, and, you know, he ascended to heaven. Like, there's just a whole lot of logical problems with that idea.
You know? When you really think about it, you just start kind of being like, how does this work? You overthink it, and then it brings in doubt and all kinds of
things. Yeah, you're like, are you sure I'm not crazy?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I could just keep the law.
Yeah, it's easy. It's here. It's written. I can follow it.
I could just keep the law and do that instead. But no, we can't settle for anything less than what he paid for. And that's, I love the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Like, just God was in Christ reconciling. I just, like, over and over again, I think of that. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's what it says. Like, literally, it says that God was in Christ. Like, that just kind of blew my mind, because I never thought about it that way. I just thought, like, yeah, Jesus came to, you know, to die on the cross for my sins, to bring reconciliation and all of those things, which are true.
Yeah.
But God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Like, that's just...
It is bananas when you think about that.
Yeah. I'm like, I still like am blown by that. Like thinking of, oh, God was in Christ. Yeah. Like when I saw that, I was like, I kept reading it over and over again. I was like, wait a minute, what in are we talking about? So then I went to the Greek, you know, I started looking up words.
Yeah.
Surely that doesn't mean what it says it means, you know? Yeah. Like, what? God was in Christ reconciling. And now God is in us reconciling. You know, he's... wants to we are ministers of reconciliation anyway. So that is, that's the ministry right there.
And isn't it crazy to think that he's in us? Like, he's like, oh yeah, he's in me. Like, he is in me. He's a part of me.
Yeah. That's,
I'm like,
yeah.
Like, you're in me when I'm like freaking out. You're in me. Like, and it's just, it's bananas to think that he's in us and a part of us.
Yeah.
And living in us and wants to be in us and live through us and show others who he is through us. It's just crazy to think that he's...
His spirit is inside of me.
Yeah.
I sort of mull these things over, because I asked the Lord a few years ago, like, okay, I don't understand, like, you know, this whole Godhead thing, you know, the Trinity, like, so you got Father, and then you got Son, you got the Holy Spirit. It's like, who do I talk to? Like, you know, like, Jesus says, when you pray, pray our Father. Yeah. He doesn't say, talk to me. He says, go to the Father in my name. So what does that mean? And do I talk to the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit that talks to me. Is it the Holy Spirit that talks? What's happening?
Yes.
So I was like, I did. I was like, Lord, can you explain this to me? And it's like, he's been explaining it to me over and over and over again, but I don't have it, you know? Yeah. I'm like, okay, but he's inside of us. Like, you know, like you're saying. So like sometimes when I'm praying, I think about it, like the spirit of my Father is inside of me, you know? And then, you know, so sometimes I get little glimpses of what that might mean, but they're fleeting, because I'm not there yet, I guess, to fully grasp it. And maybe I won't be there until I'm in heaven, and that's okay. But somebody once described the Holy Spirit as the Father's touch.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it tactile. It makes it.
Yeah. 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 It was so fun. So one of the instructors at BCW, I sometimes make it a habit of asking the person, like, what do you want me to know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you want me to know? Because I feel like sometimes there's stuff I'm missing out on in life, I think.
Yeah.
And there's wisdom that people have. And so I've asked that question of, like, maybe three people. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to sound like I ask that everywhere. I don't. I ask people that I only very much respect. So I've only asked three people. And only one person in America have I asked that question of, now I think about it. But so I asked this one guy that he was, and I was just like, you know, so you're never going to see me again, probably. So, like, what's the one thing you want me to know? And it was very surprising to me, because he didn't say, like, I want you to know that X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that. He goes, I want you to know the secret place with your Father. And I was like, that's like a mic drop.
Yeah.
You're not going to speak theology to me. You're not going to speak, like, what? Okay. And I just, like, went back to my room, and I made a record of that, because it was, like, huge to me. Yeah. Like, I want you to know the secret place with your Father. And I was just like, yeah, that was good.
That is good.
That was, like, really, really good.
That is cool.
Felt like I was on the Family Feud. Good answer! Good answer, you know? Oh, so, was a good answer. But I've had other good answers too. But that was just it was a different take. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it was good. I went leaning in the secret place. So I guess that's my dream.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good dreams.
Live your dream.
Live your dream.
You know, like in Rapunzel, I relate to Rapunzel so much, it's not even funny.
Live your dream.
Yeah, my hair's not as long as hers. And I can't control my hair like she does. Like, you know, I can't use my hair to, like, grab something.
Yeah. That would be cool.
That would be weird, that'd though. Be
right.
I would need prayer, I think.
Just grabbing things with your hair.
Yeah, I would need prayer. Like, oh, like Tammy Jo needs prayer. She's doing weird things with her hair. Oh, man. That was something else that was really cool at BCW is just, like, this culture of honor and, like, I love how they, I love my church, you know, and I have a very honoring heart toward my church.
Yeah.
And I love how they honor that. You know what I mean? Because I feel like sometimes it can be like, it can end up feeling like a competitive thing, you know?
Like so, my church versus yours.
Right. And, it's not, it wasn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful that how they honored that I honor my church and that I honor, you know, like, cause you know, I mean, that's my family.
Yeah.
And so I just love that. It's like that culture of honor. And I just felt like that was so beautiful. You know, it wasn't like, oh, let's try to poke holes in, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I didn't really know what to expect. Obviously, I didn't have very high, what is it? High
expectations.
Yeah, high expectations.
Yeah.
That's the word. Poor things. I mean, not that they're poor, but, you know, that sounds really, I don't know, pitiful. Yeah. It's not pitiful. It's me. I'm the one that's pitiful for having, like, I guess, you know, growing up, like, having been an orphan, you know, that's kind of how it always was. Mm-hmm. You know, you... whenever you go to a different home, you know, they always sort of pick apart the other home and it's like this competitiveness, you know, or whatever. And it's just beautiful to be with people that aren't part of your group that honor your group.
I love that.
You know, and it's like they know they don't lose anything by honoring your group.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And then, you know, I went recently to... Ojai. And, you know, and I met with some women there that some people in BCW had connected me to. And it was just the same thing. It's not like, oh, because you came here, let us tell you why we're better and why you should become part of our group. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. It's like just honoring that I belong to a group, that I have a group.
Yeah.
And, so it, I don't know, I just love that. So it's like we can become extended family, you know?
I like that.
And
a lot.
There doesn't have to be this
competition or better than.
Yeah, no competition, no this idea of stealing people or comparison.
Because we all have the same goal is
Jesus.
And we all have the same goal. There shouldn't be all this fracture.
Right.
We all have the same goal.
So that's the thing that I've really loved, I guess, in the last 6 months, experiencing the unity that the Holy Spirit really does bring into a group. I love that. And so it's been, that's part of what's been fun about being home is just, I love that I feel more, I mean, I feel honoring of my church. And it's fun to have that honored in turn. And then so now being there, I love my church. I love everyone there. Your church, my church, our church, you know, but I love it and I do honor everyone there and I love that, you know, I get to attend there. I get to be there with that group of people.
Yeah.
Not that any of us are perfect or anything like that, but it's just, you know, we're doing life together until the Lord, you know, decides that somebody needs to go do somewhere else or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, you might move to Hawaii or something.
Yeah. I've asked. I've been told no. So...
So you're not moving to Hawaii?
No.
You know, I was looking on this missions organization thing where they, like, send you, well, not send you, but it's like, oh, if you feel called to missions, it's not like the typical missions. It's like job opportunities.
Yeah, okay.
And I saw one in Ghana.
Oh, wow.
Occupational therapist.
Oh, I'm not that. I'm a rec therapist. So I was like, no. And I'll tell you when the mic turns off. I have a Ghana story. So,
like, I thought of you and I was like, yeah, she would be so like, no.
No. No. No.
Yeah, it was kind of funny,
no.
though.
Is it? But no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so funny. I do. Like, I have a heart for Ghana. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I want to go to Ghana. I don't know why. I have an offer to go to Uganda, but I don't know that I want to go to Uganda.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I have an offer to go there. I don't know.
That would be cool to see.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure I want to go to Uganda, but
yeah.
I don't have as much of a... have a draw, but for some reason I do with Ghana. Huh. But I don't have an invitation to Ghana, so there's a difference there.
Yeah.
How far is Ghana from Uganda?
I have no idea. And I remember, this is terrible, like, I know where it's in Africa, just don't know where. Like, I don't know where. Yeah. Like, where in the, like, I know South Africa, and I know, like, Madagascar, yeah. but, like, and Nigeria, I know where that, but like where Ghana and those other places, not a clue.
Yeah,
not a clue. I'd have to go look at a map. I'm like, oh, that's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do want to go there. I feel like there's other places. There's actually a lot of places. I'm shaking my head at myself because, like, for some reason, China came to my mind, which anybody who knows me for any length of time will laugh hysterically because I've been like, I'm not going to China. No, I do not want to go to China because I had this dream that the Lord gave me. Quite a few years ago, it was vivid, and I was like, no, absolutely not. So it's kind of funny for me to be like
I want to go to China now.
Kind of want to go to China. Really?
Yeah.
You do, huh? I don't know. I don't know where God will send me, but I'll just go.
That'd be exciting to see where you end up.
Yeah. But first, I need to focus on these things, you know.
Yeah.
I need to focus on these things and... I do want to speak to women, which is funny because that's another thing I never really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt sort of like called to do that thing. But now I'm like, I don't know. I do feel like I want to speak to people that are broken and, you know, that have pain or emotional trauma, which is, again, really weird. Why am I saying this online, too?
Oh.
So... you know, and you could put this part in now if you want, but
Anyway,
so I never used my life, but the Lord was just like, you're going to speak about your life and fear. And I was like, what? No. Like I had this belief system in place that if I spoke about my life, it would A, give the enemy permission to torture me with it. And B, that it would glorify the enemy somehow. It wouldn't, you know, so I was afraid, like, I felt like just no, just all kinds of no, don't even, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And so he told me to do that. And I was like, I struggled. I wrote so many other things to speak on. And he was like, no. And he was like, and you're going to show pictures. And I was like, what? I have only 3 pictures of myself when I was young,
mm-hmm.
just 3. And I was like, fine. If I can find them, because hello, I'm in Wales. How am I going to get these pictures?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I can find them, then I'll know it's you.
And you found them.
Of course. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's God. He's okay. Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Exactly. I know. He's totally like that. I'm like, whoa, wait, can I put another? No. And so I, you know, I got up there and I spoke. And I shared my life, like, but it was weird. I didn't know it could be shared in such a way. Like, I was able to share, like, without giving, like, without traumatizing everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, everyone was weeping, which I wasn't expecting,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, I felt like I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
But I was just trembling anyways, just because I was doing something that... I was full on facing fear, like in the moment, you know, by even speaking. And like, I had the microphone in my hand and my hand was like moving like a fish out of water. Like yeah. It was trembling so bad as I spoke. And I did. I shared about, you know, like just that language mm-hmm. and how I learned to be so militant. And, you know, even now, like I hear people say things and I hear the militantness in it. But they, I, you know, if I think of them as a person, as mm-hmm. a human being, and I were to say, okay, Tammy Jo, so do they believe this? No, I know they don't believe that. So I know I'm misunderstanding them. You know, I'm hearing, you know, something else. Mm-hmm. So I did, you know, I spoke on that, and because I didn't know how to hear love. Like, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I did not know how to hear love. Any loving language would be morphed in my ears to a message of hate, disdain, mocking. Like, so weird. Like, mm-hmm. It was like I was completely, it was impossible for me to hear love. So, but God finds a way.
I love that.
Yeah, he finds a way. And he, you know, and it was great. He didn't do it. Nobody could talk me into it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? That's a thing.
Yeah.
People try to talk you into it. And some people can't be talked in, you mm-hmm. know. And yeah. I couldn't be talked into it. So he really did just made a move by teaching me the ancient Hebrew. It was like a slow process, you know. And
he's a gentleman.
Yeah. And that dialogue, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, you talk about, you know, you hear the Lord. And I'll always remember the day that I full on realized I was talking to the Lord about his sovereignty and how he's the king and all of this and how I need to just do things because he asked me to do it. It doesn't matter what he asked me to do. And just that militantness, like, mm-hmm. come on. And so I was like using the Bible to convince myself. And so it was like, you know, like David, you know, he called Bathsheba over, you know, and she went because he was the king.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so I'm like, so how much more should I, you know, do whatever you tell me to do? You're the king. It doesn't matter. And which sounds like it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Lord was like, there's a problem. I would have never taken a wife that's not my own.
Yeah. Like,
I would have never done that. Yeah. So that you have a flaw in your you know, the example you're using to talk yourself into, yeah. you know. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And that was when he began the process of uncovering that I was obeying the Lord, but really in service to the enemy because ooh. I was, you know, I wasn't obeying the Lord from a place of love.
Yeah.
It wasn't from a place of
fear.
It was out of fear. But see, then but back then I would go, yeah, but it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, that's what I would say. And is it true? Yeah. But perfect love casts out fear. Fear is what, like, yeah, it's the fear. Like when you recognize, oh my gosh, I'm in sin, fear of the Lord. Yes, I need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
I come into mercy mm-hmm. in that grace camp.
Yeah.
In that grace camp, there's that love. And that love casts out that fear.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, he's God and he could strike me dead at any time. Absolutely, when I have sinned. You know, like if I'm outside of the grace camp, like yeah, he can, he's God and he's righteous and he's holy and all of those things. So idolatry, you know, it is a sin, certainly. Yeah. And my fear of that judgment of God, the fact that he can strike me down, is what says I need mercy, you know.
Yeah.
And I get the mercy, go to the grace, you know. So when I'm obeying God in fear or in love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, love is what activates faith, you know, in Galatians 5. So love activates faith. So if I do something, you know, we've talked about it before, you know, in the classes that I've taught, you know, just if I obey in fear, that's not faith.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's fear.
That's fear.
Yeah. And that's not going to produce anything.
Mm-mm.
It's going to produce self-righteousness.
Yeah.
It's going to produce other people are going to think I'm righteous.
Yeah.
But that's a false identity.
Yeah.
So,
you don't want that.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was something BCW, I faced that fear of sharing my testimony. And so I think that if I do ever work with women, I'm not going to be afraid now.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to try to not be afraid. How's that?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to trust the Lord more And when I'm speaking to somebody and an example in my life is coming up, to trust him with that.
Yeah.
You know, because he said, don't take account of what you're going to say. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's going to speak, you
exactly.
know. So let the Holy Spirit do that. So I want to really, you know, purpose in my heart to not tell the Holy Spirit, okay, you can use all of these examples, but you can't touch that.
That one.
That's not yours. Because you know what's happening when I do that.
You're quenching it.
Yeah, and I'm also, if he can't touch it for a testimony, can he touch it for healing? Can he touch it for forgiveness? Yeah. Can he even be there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I haven't let him in, you know, all the way. There's a little secret spot I haven't let him in, but I didn't realize, you know, kind of thing. So now I'm like, okay, you know, even doing this blog, I'm talking about so many things, or what do you call it? Podcast.
This is a blog.
a verbal blog.
It's a verbal blog. It's what it is now. It's what's happened right now.
It's because we're on air. That's why. Yes. when you're on air in hallway studios.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to be.
yeah. But that is totally going to be your catchphrase.
Yes.
Anyways. Yeah. So doing this, sharing bits about my life and my experience at BCW and, you know, the fear of teaching and grace and mercy and my ideas about all of these, it's really scary because it can go out there in the waves and maybe somebody that knows me hears it and misunderstands me in some way. Like, oh my gosh, I want to self-protect.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally get self-protection. I am the queen of that. Queen of self-protection. In fact, last Sunday, God's like, stop self-protecting. Like, I had to go up there and give that to him. He's like, stop self-protect. I do that so much.
Yeah, so it's easy to be like, so I'm facing fear and even, you know, sharing my experience with facing fear, you know.
Yeah.
So.
You're doing an awesome job.
Thanks. Yeah. So, just so you know, right now, one of the buzzwords I feel like in our society is like narcissism and gaslighting.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I don't know if this will be helpful to anybody, but
yeah,
the devil is a narcissist and he gaslights all the time.
Yes, he does.
So I'm like I'm starting to realize some things, you know, because like I'll feel something and I'm like, you know, and they think, oh no. And then I'm always checking my heart because I'm always quick to believe that I'm wrong or at fault or something, like, okay, I'm bad somewhere. And I'm like, wait a minute. No. That is, you know, I'm feeling, you know, maybe his plan, you know, towards someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But now because he knows I can see it, he's trying to turn it on me.
Yeah.
He's gaslighting me with it so that I don't do what I need to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute. I see what you did there. So, but that's another thing. My weapon is really worship. So I don't need to focus on, him. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, I can feel that, but I'm not like my call in that is to go, you've already lost. So I'm going to sing a victory song because Jesus wins and he's won already. And then as I worship, then, you know, sometimes of course the Holy Spirit will spring out of me, whatever he wants to. And, you know, I might, you know, do more traditional warfare in that moment, but it's honest because it's from the Holy Spirit, not from my, you know, bag of ideas on how to do warfare 101, you know. So anyways, it reminds me of Toy Story.
Yeah.
You know, Toy Story, you have, I always use movie references. It's so, I'm not even that big into movies, but my family, it's the family culture. So anyways, but you know how, what is it? One-Eyed Bart has robbed the bank, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I have a force field. And he's like, this is my attack dog that eats force fields, you know? Sometimes, like, I felt like in the past before I realized, like, kind of how the Lord operates in me.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how, like, I'm operating, you know? Like, oh, yeah, well, I'm, you know, you know, here's my attack dog. and, you know, just throwing whatever I can think of.
Yeah.
But that's my own calculations, and we're supposed to cast down those things.
Things that we can't do it.
Yeah. So it was really fun. So the one guy that I told you about, that talked about the Pharisees and how they really loved. Well, I gave my first, you know, like, devotion sermon or whatever when he was there.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I didn't know he knew so much about Hebrew stuff or whatever. If, like, it would have been very intimidating because I did talk about the ancient Hebrew, because you can't talk to me and not hear about the ancient Hebrew, because I love the ancient Hebrew.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I was like, kind of, I felt a little like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? That happened to me for, like, one of my worship things, too.
Yeah.
I did, like, so I led worship on Sundays, not every Sunday, but I led worship on four of the Sundays. And, but then I led worship for, like, the class.
Yeah.
And when, and so when I did that, it was so funny, too, because I was like, I'm playing keys, I'm free singing the Psalm 23, because that's what the Lord wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out the schedule got changed.
Yeah.
So the teacher for that day was actually like a worshiper person, like a real worshiper. Yeah. Well, a real one, not a fake one like me, but, but like, you know, real and, and actually quite musical, like, world-class musician, sort of. And I was, like, shrinking. Like, I'm like, this is not, like, this is so intimidating. I mean, I was able to do it, because when I worship, I just worship. I don't, like, I'm able to just get lost in what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
But then when I, like, in the before and the aftermath, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the kind of, like,
that was just, you know. And, but so now I'm telling two stories at once. Okay, so it was funny because with the guy, when I was speaking, you know, I wanted to shrink, you know, and he goes, he got up there, he goes, you, I was watching you, you are like a nuclear reactor just exploding. You're like, you know, I was just like, okay.
Is it a good thing?
He was like, because I have, like, so passionate, I have all this fire, you know, and everything, and it was, so it was funny. So then, for the worship, I was, you know, I didn't think anything, wasn't thinking they would say anything. Nobody said anything until, like, 2 hours into teaching.
Yeah.
And the guy was, like, talking about excellence in worship. And I'm, like, thinking that was the farthest thing from excellence in worship, because I'm not that good at keys, number one. And number two, it was such a raw moment for me spiritually that, you know, my lack of ability on the keys really showed, because I, like, I kind of messed up, you know, a lot in it, but I'm very much, I always move forward even if I mess up. So I did that, but when he's talking about excellence in worship, I'm thinking of, like, excellence in worship that was not excellence in worship, because, like, it musically lacked, I feel like. And then he was like, do you know what excellence, so do you want to know what excellence in worship is? And I'm thinking, yeah, I know it's, you know, practicing your instrument. It's, you know, doing well and having a good offering to the Lord and stuff. And he goes, it's what that lady did this morning. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And like, I just felt so, like, I really wanted to hide then. But, so that was really humbling, but it was like, and I know it's not that I was amazing again, musically, but I think remembering, it's not about skill.
Yeah, it's not,
you know,
it's about your heart.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, skill is important. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to quit practicing or whatever, but, you know, in, like, you're learning while you're doing this, you know, if you waited until you had, you know, like, some other studio that wouldn't have a cool name, like Hallway Studios. Like, if you waited until then,
it'd be too late. It'd be.
Yeah. And where is the relying on the Lord in that too? And I'm sure that you're reaching people in a different way because you're doing it in a vulnerable position, you know, this position of lack. And I think sometimes we're afraid to be vulnerable with people.
Oh yeah.
You know, I know I'm afraid to be vulnerable with people. I'm afraid to be vulnerable with myself.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm working on it, you know, but, you know, I just didn't realize how much, you know, how much fear is active, but I feel like it's like that epic battle of fear and love, you know, mm-hmm. Jesus, the love of God, you know, he loved us. He created us.
Yeah.
He created us for intimacy. He loves us, mm-hmm. you know, and then the enemy's like, no, you're not good enough. No, you're not, you know, he's always speaking fearful things at us.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, okay, wait, no, but you are good enough.
Yeah, you are
because
enough.
Because died on the cross for your sins because I knew all of your sins and I chose to do that because you were valuable to me. So he's speaking love and the enemy is speaking fear. You know, it's just this constant epic battle. So it's good that you're doing this podcast. So people can really think about like why, where is fear?
Yeah.
And what am I afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is there truth in it?
Yeah. That's the big key. Is there truth in these? And then to face it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think, you know, I was hearing one person talk about like being your authentic self, which it's so funny to say that because that's like was like the buzzword a couple years ago, authenticity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was talking about being your authentic self. His name was Jamie something or other with a W. Like, I don't want to, it's important to give credit to people, not
take your stuff.
This is not my brilliant idea, okay?
Yeah.
But anyways, he was talking about how, you know, when you're not in truth, then you can't be authentically who you are.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to compare and when you're trying to be, you know, imitate other people or you believe a lie or you're not acknowledging truth, then you end up, you know, not being authentic. Mm-hmm. And that God doesn't, he's not able to use that because it's false, you know. And so he talks about like facing truth, speaking truth. And it's funny because when we think about speaking truth, I know for me, I think of speaking truth as, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things. That's the truth, right? I can do all things through Christ. Well, is that my truth, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now, my truth is I feel like I'm not good at anything. And I am too old to really learn to grow in this enough to ever actually be any good at this. And, you know, that's what my truth is. That's what my reality is. So do I deny that reality and just chant to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Or do I go to Jesus and I say, Lord, you know, I feel like I'm never going to be good at anything. Mm. I'm not good at anything or whatever. And I speak what my truth is so that, you know, we address the elephant in the room.
Exactly.
You know, okay, the elephant in the room is I think I just suck at everything and I'm never good at anything and I'm too old to learn. So now what?
Yeah.
You know, and then let him speak to you.
His truth. His about truth. You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so then you're willing to accept that that might not be truth. So I'm going to tell you what my truth is because I'm not going to hold it higher than yours.
I love that.
Or try in my own strength to figure out how to assimilate yours, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on right now. Like,
that's awesome.
Like seriously work. Like I worked on it like just before I got here, like just hot off the presses. That's,
I love it.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Package it, ship it out, sell it. I love it.
It was good. It was good. Just asking those questions and telling the Lord what my truth is and letting him speak truth to me. So,
I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's scary though.
Yeah.
I think it's scary because we have unbelief, you know?
Yeah.
Like he told me today, okay, so if you really believed that you have access to me,
mm-hmm.
what would be the first thing you do in the day? How would you live your life? If, you know, if you really believed that when you come to me in prayer that you have my full attention, if you mm-hmm. really believed that, how would you live? If you really believed that? Because lately I've noticed that, like, so since I've got home from BCW, I feel like, first of all, my house is a disaster. I live in an itty-bitty living space with four people. One's itinerant, so, you know, he kind of deposits stuff and then leaves and then deposits stuff. Little tiny apartment. My mm-hmm. furniture is all breaking down, like crooked, everything is bad. And it's, I feel like I live, like, I feel like Sanford and Son live in a mansion, like nice stuff, like Sanford and Palace. You familiar with Sanford and Son?
Yes. My mom loved that show. The guy who would crush his heart every...
Lisbeth!
I'm going home! Yes, I... staple in my childhood. Right,
yeah. So, it's just... And then I realized that there's so much of old identity that I need to get rid of. Like, I don't need to wear black all the time. Like, why do I think I'm like Batgirl? Like, I'm
Batgirl.
Yeah, like, I'm always like, I have so much black, and I need color and more like girly things, and I don't know, I need movement in my clothing, and so trying to go through those things. It's so, like, I have all these sort of big projects that I feel like I need to do.
Yeah.
To be. Like, to be what I'm meant to be.
Hmm.
And, but when he was asking me that, like, what, like, how would you live your life? And I realized, like, if I really believed that he has the truth, he's going to tell me the truth, you know, I have his ear, I have access to his throne. If I really believe that, I wouldn't really care about my closet, actually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care that my house is a mess either.
Mm-mm.
I really wouldn't. Like, I thought that was important, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you know, he's the one that has the skill. I don't have the skill set. I was, like, seriously, I was, like, my childhood, like, it was, like, orphanhood. So I don't know how to keep a house. I really don't. The only way I know how to keep a house is if you're really mean to me or if I'm mean to myself.
Yeah.
That is the only way I can keep a house. Yell at myself, tell myself terrible mean things, because that's what how I learned how to how to do it. I don't know how to keep a house, okay? I don't know how to have a schedule. I don't know any of that.
Yeah.
But I keep trying. Isn't that human effort?
Yeah.
You know? And so he's like, "What would you do?" And so I'm like, "I wouldn't care." Like, I really wouldn't care that those things are that way. Not that I would assume that they would stay that way forever, but I would trust that he has the answers.
Yeah.
But I'm not trusting that, because I think first I have to get my house clean. What?
Hmm.
Really? Do I really need to get my house clean first? I don't think so.
Hmm.
Like, again, you know, you can post this online and people can tell me how wrong I am and set me straight. It's okay. But yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. The fact that my house is a mess might be like evidence of the fact that I don't know how to keep a house.
Yeah.
But it's also evidence that the Lord hasn't taught me that yet.
Hmm.
And I haven't given him the space to either.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like... He's knocking on the door. I'm here. Hello, Tammy Jo. Can I come in? Hold on. Wait. And I'm running around, you know, trying to make it look presentable, you know?
Yeah.
Wait. No, I'm not. Let me clean out the refrigerator first. Wait. Oh, wait. He might need to use the restroom. Wait. No, you can't come in yet. I got to go clean the bathroom too. Wait, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm living.
Yeah. I relate to that too. Like, I'm like, having Bible study here at my house has really, like, worked that out in me. Because I was like, I do not want people at my, like, my house is, I grew up with this thought of, my house is my little sanctuary, my little, my little cave, my cave, you know.
Yeah.
And let people in it. I'm like, they're going to see my mess. They're going to see that. Sometimes I can't make it to the dishes yet when people come over. I haven't done them yet. Or maybe there's hair on the floor because I have curly hair and it sheds all the time. You sweep and 9 other ones show up. You're like, what the heck? I just swept the floor and there's still more on that. Ah! You know, and so it's just these vulnerable spots, like you were saying.
Right,
it's hard to be vulnerable. And so people see that, but it really doesn't matter.
Well, and what's funny is, like, just on my, from my perspective, like being somebody that comes to your house with those things, I just want you to know that they have really kind of helped me have more freedom. Like, I think to myself, you know, like, well, Alexis has us over and everything's not perfect.
Yeah.
So why am I feeling like I feel at home when I'm here? Because, you know what I mean? So it doesn't feel like, it feels welcoming. It feels, I don't feel like, oh, she's got dishes. I don't think that at all. I go, oh, okay. that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Nobody died. Everything's okay. Yeah.
And it's so funny in my head. I'm like, oh, I have dishes. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. It's so funny because that's what you're thinking. Yeah. It's like, I have dishes. I'm like, I couldn't get the dishes done before people came over. But God's like, right. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. And I mean, again, can he not teach me? Mm-hmm. He can teach me, but I won't let him in, you know, because I think, I got to figure this out on my own. And, you know, or I need somebody to come, like, how else am I going to learn? Somebody has to like live with me or, you know, that knows how to do that.
Yeah.
They would have to do it in love. Or I'd have to live with somebody
mm-hmm.
for them to train me. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Jesus meets both of those requirements.
Yeah.
You know, he lives in me and I'm in him. So,
yeah.
So it's perfect. But
yeah.
So funny, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me go clean up everything.
I really thought I'd do that too. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tammy Jo.
You're welcome.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Brave Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed my conversation with my friend Tammy Jo. One of my biggest takeaways from her interview was this: how much more would I pray if I truly believed what I was asking God for? And I'm like, oh, that's convicting. So that's definitely going to help me change my prayer life a lot more. All right, so I have my three asks. One, share the podcast with a friend. If you feel like you heard something today that you think would help another person, go on and share it with them. My second thing is ratings. Ratings helps me figure out what works best for my guest and kind of gives me feedback on what I'm doing well or not doing well. And then finally, downloads. Downloads tell those in the podcasting world that you like what you're hearing, and it makes the podcast more visible to others who might not be able to find us. So those are my three asks for the week. I'll probably ask you every episode. Oh, next week's guest will be my friends, Richard and Sarah Harney. You're going to love these guys. I've known them since my Arizona State days, and we met because I worked with Sarah at a preschool. And so we're catching up with her next week. I think you'll really enjoy that interview, so be sure to tune in. Thanks so much for joining, and we will see you next time. Bye.